forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Remember those lyrics? Well, we're going to bring them home today on Razzle Dazzle Radio, talking about how the arts bring it all together. And we have lots of musicians, lots of fun, lots of hope, lots of inspiration, so stay tuned in. So I'm super excited because we have Luis Cassell, and we have Gabriel Hightower, and we have Ian Kennedy, and we are going to talk about the arts, particularly music. So, Carolyn, I know that you, Luis, is near and dear to you, so maybe you want to just chat with him briefly and talk about what's going on in the past, now, and for the future.
Well, welcome, Luis, and all our other guests. And I think this is just echoing a little bit here, but I will step back. First of all, Luis, it's good to see you in New York. Tell us what's been happening. We'll go to the past afterward. We'll go to the present right now.
There you go.
Well, I think in nowadays, people here in New York are just trying to survive and catch up. And I say survive because of the pandemic, many things has been closed. The show business is actually non-existent, as everyone knows. Nevertheless, there are people like reinventing and things that, everyone has their ways of trying to actually keep uplifting the spirit of the rest. And for example, I play concertmaster for this orchestra in which they had me giving coachings to the violins so that they keep like reuniting. I mean, and I thought this could not be possible. It's the first time ever in history that I do a coaching through Zoom. But I was actually surprised that the members of the orchestra, they all wanted to show up and they look forward to meet. I guess it becomes like venting situation, and everyone was very happy. And I was I have to say that I got here to New York mid-September and I saw how many people have left. Actually, it's actually true. Mm-hmm. And how many people have moved out because the city is expensive and they probably would rather just work from home in another state. So, I mean, the situation is becoming quite obvious. I saw a lot of programs were canceled, meaning like outreach programs. In one of the ones I work for example, was shut down. But on the other hand, I got here and I was asked to play a recital for the Brooklyn Conservatory that I work for. And I said, sure, I would love to play a recital. Actually, I thought because they just renovated their concert hall, their little recital hall, but it was not in the recital hall. They wanted me to play a recital outdoors. And they also told me that they wanted to not to share it with anyone to avoid social distance. So they only advertised it the day before in the social media. So it was planned so that not many people shows up, and it was like for the community, so to get exposure for the conservatory itself. So I play a recital, a full classical recital outside in their garden. So I was so happy because, just to be able to play, but it was so bizarre in a way, like there's no acoustic, there is nothing coming back to you. But it was great. So, I mean, I guess at the end it's like, little by little everyone is trying somehow to perform. I mean, I do the usual, just as everyone else, recording some projects, chamber music, collaborations online. I guess that's the most common thing nowadays. And I am indeed recording, but it's like in this scenario in which you record yourself, someone has put it together and things like that. So I guess it's a little of everything, but in a way I have to say it's just getting even the little steps brings a lot of happiness.
Thank you, Luis. And let me just remind folks how we know Luis and his connection to Columbia. He trained in violin, I believe it was violin, with Danny Heifetz, the world famous musician teacher here in Columbia, couple years ago, and was able to perform again locally in Washington, Baltimore, and throughout the area. And we are going to listen to an excerpt of Luis singing and playing in his home country of Panama with his brother Isaac, which will be put on a little bit later.
Great.
Wow. So also bring on that salsa and Latin music right now. Yeah, so that's what I want to hear for sure. And so Gabriel Hightower is a local boy, or was a local boy, let me say, here, homebred in Columbia, Maryland, and is a winner of the Rising Star Award for his beautiful rendition on the cello. So Gabriel, what was the piece that you won that for?
So I played David Popper's Elfin Dance, Opus number 34. It's a little showpiece that's, it's very fast, I'll say that. Got a lot of arpeggiated notes that are up and above the fingerboard of the cello itself.
And so tell us, because as we talked about, so tell us a little bit about your colorful past. So how did you come to become this virtuoso cellist? And I understand also that you're pursuing a master's of music at Carnegie Mellon right now. So tell us a little bit about how you got there.
Well, I guess I could trace it right back to the start of like my music at Phelps Luck Elementary School.
Wow.
I started taking private lessons within, I think the first year I started playing cello. So that was at age 9. And from there I studied with Catherine Barrett Ziwan, a local cellist in the area. And then I started studying with Dr. Benjamin Myers at HCC from 9th through 12th grade. Then I started studying with, I'm just going to tell you who I studied with and I'll go from there.
I hope they're all listening. It's great.
Yeah. I studied with Dr. Eric Kutz at University of Maryland College Park. And now I'm currently studying with Professor Anne Martindale Williams, who's the principal cellist of the Pittsburgh Symphony. And she's been there since, want to say 1984, 85. So it's been a lot of, it's been a lot of just pushing myself and challenging myself, I'd say. Recently, it's been a lot of, in this format with the pandemic and everything that's going on, it's been a lot of just playing back and listening to myself over and over again on recordings of my phone and just taking note of, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I want to do better. And it's just a constant process of self-improvement, and it'll never stop, I think.
Absolutely. That's what sets you aside from the rest. And that's what Luis was just saying, too. It's like, okay, we're doing this for our own enjoyment. And to quote that line from A Chorus Line, you know, that ain't it. It's not as fulfilling, but it does give us time for improvement and to hone our craft, certainly, too. So where are you presently living?
So I'm living over in Friendship, which is over in like Shadyside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. I thought for some reason, I thought you would come back here. So what are you thinking about for the future?
Oh, the future. Well, since the pandemic happened, I've kind of had to readjust my plans. I've been looking towards doing orchestral fellowships and just starting to audition for that. But everything, like I said, has been pushed back. Sphinx has a orchestral partner audition that they host, I think, every year. And normally what you do is you just prepare like some select excerpts. And if you're selected, you get invited to audition for a live panel of orchestra, like adjudicators and whatnot, for these professional orchestras that are based throughout the country and some music festivals as well. So if they are interested in having you, they will invite you for the live audition. You just get to bypass that. So that would be something that I was looking into. The other one would be probably New World Symphony, which is based down in Miami, Florida. That's just some pre-professional training, and it just really gets you ready for the next step in getting ready and prepared for these professional orchestras. And now, because of the pandemic, I'm kind of looking towards either doing an artist diploma somewhere, probably looking towards doing Yale. An artist diploma for sure. Just to hone in like my performance skill set and whatnot. I would definitely not want to do a doctorate yet. I'm only 23 and I'd be 24 by the time I finish my master's here.
Let me jump in here. And Luis, weren't you at the new school also? Maybe you could also give Gabriel a couple of tips on his road and tell us what you're going to do in the future.
Well, I mean, I guess that can be a confusion. I went to a school that is called New World School of the Arts. I did do New World Symphony, but it can be a misunderstanding there. The school I went was New World School of the Arts in Miami, Florida.
And what tips do you have? What are your future plans?
Well, my future plans are, I just keep doing what I am doing now. Actually, I don't have many changes. I have to say that I have, like Gabriel mentioned, you know, I have been actually practicing a lot. This probably has been the most practice that I have done in decades. You know, I mean, there are practice for commitments, but like self-practice. I mean, I began reviewing my etudes since the pandemic began in March, and I did them front and back. I have had such a great time, you know, like, because I mean, I am like a social being. and people tell me, how are you dealing with this solitude in New York? But it's been very strange. I have enjoyed a lot just practicing and just reviewing material. It's like self-enrichment, growing. And I don't know, I think I can say that I think I am playing today better than yesterday. So I kind of feel good about it. And I think I want to keep doing that. I mean, I just keep practicing. That's what I was doing yesterday. So I don't know, the different things, I guess, you know, and the projects, they are going well. It's like, there's a lot of happiness just in doing and delivering the material. So I guess I don't have any tips, just that I think when you have like, my only tip is like, if you're enjoying what you are doing, just keep at it. I mean, I don't think the pandemic should put anyone down, you know, like a stone from the dreams, you know. If you want to take auditions for and do the artist diploma, I highly recommend the artist diploma. You know, it's like, that's some way to actually just invest time on a lot of practicing and growing. It's probably one of the best things one can do. Other people actually don't understand it, because it's like, it's a degree that is mostly in performance. So it's more understood among performers. Like if you tell your friends that are non-musicians, I'm going to do an artist diploma, like, how does that help you in life? You know, they wouldn't understand, you know, but for us, it's like the greatest thing to do. So I highly recommend you do something like that. I mean, my experience with New World Symphony was, I was not a full member, but I did play with them for a season. And it's so beautiful. I mean, if you are like, in a way to become a professional orchestra player, orchestra fellowships and New World
Symphony. So it's a good time for a sabbatical, huh, Luis?
Well, yeah, I guess.
So, Gabriel, I've also heard a rumor that you're thinking about pursuing a career in arts administration. Is that true?
Yeah, doing something like that on the side would definitely be, I think, beneficial in this day and age. I've always thought about this, but I don't want to just be a good cellist. I want to be a well-rounded citizen in my community. And I don't really know much aside from how to play my cello and how to play it well. So I think music administration was definitely something worth exploring, which I did with Ian at the Downtown Columbia Arts and Culture Commission over the past, summer ago or something like that?
Well, I guess that gives us a perfect segue into our next guest. Thank you, Gabriel, for that.
Welcome.
And that is Ian Kennedy, and he is our very own arts administrator. So, Ian, thanks so much for joining us. And so, what's happening here locally in Columbia, Maryland, and the arts? And make it happy, will you?
Well, I will start out by saying this. This is something that I have spoken a lot about with some of my colleagues here at Meriwether, also in the arts community, and just the idea of, and as musicians, I am nowhere near the caliber of musician that Luis or Gabe is, but I too have been finding solace in playing my guitar, and I have played it a lot more this year than I have in probably a decade. And, you know, in music, there is the concept of rest, right? And there's a quote that has been butchered and attributed to all sorts of people, which is that, you know, the music is not in the notes, but in the silence between them. And we are in a somewhat quiet moment. And the options are to think of this as idle time were to think of this as a productive pause. And I've chose to think of it as a productive pause. And so obviously music and live performance is something that you can't reproduce the feelings and the emotions of them virtually. But I appreciate all the artists who have adapted and who are producing art at this time. But I also think that we're all sort of waiting for that time when we're back together and we're singing and we're clapping and we're dancing and we're playing together. And, you know, we have been in the same way that our musicians here have been using this time to practice, to get better, to explore their trajectory, what brought them here, and then how to take it to the next level. We've been thinking about that here at Merriweather and thinking about art programmatically. You know, what are the things that we can be doing to engage more audiences, to create even better experiences? And really, you know, since we focus a lot here with my organization on downtown Columbia, thinking about how can we bring all of these artists and the arts organizations and the institutions together to achieve this vision that we've had for downtown Columbia, which is, you know, this should be a home of world-class arts and entertainment and cultural programming. And, you know, we have a bunch of pieces of this puzzle that are already in place, but we have a few more that we need to put in place. And so we've been spending our time doing that, thinking about the future and, you know, the opportunities that are going to come, you know, whether it's next year or the year after that, because art is still being made. Musicians are still making music. And in some ways, you know, I am as excited as I've ever been because I know that there is going to be an explosion of creativity, of performance, of artistry once we're sort of through the thing that we're all going through right now.
Well, so Ian, we're hearing that Broadway is coming back May 2021, which used to seem like a long time ago. It seems a little shorter now. So if Broadway is coming back then, what do you think for Merriweather?
You know, I mean, this has been, I've spent all summer saying, well, we'll know more in 2 months. We'll know more in 2 months or 2 weeks rather, 2 weeks. Everything's been these 2 week increments. And then we got through the season and nothing happened. So now we can actually just look 3 and 4 months ahead. And I mean, we are planning events and, you know, because of regulation, we really couldn't do anything. I mean, we couldn't really even do effective live streams because of the number of people that it would take just to produce them. But the most recent order from the governor allows us to go to 10% capacity. 10% at Merriweather is 1,900 people. You know, we have a great big property. We have a great big stage. So even if, you know, we're looking to the spring and early summer and, you know, we still have attendance caps, we still have distancing rules in place, we are comfortable that we can come up with programming that utilizes the great big stage and the great big lawn and the great big pavilion that is Merriweather, and that can be presented safely, so that guests can come knowing that they're safe, knowing that all the protocols are in place and that the artists also have those safety measures in place. So we are absolutely looking ahead to the spring to be able to start doing events. They may not be concerts on the scale that folks would associate with Merriweather in years past,
right?
But it will get back to that.
Well, that is hopeful.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing we talk about, we have said many, many times around here at Merriweather is that, and Jean Parker, who you may know, Jean Parker has been the general manager at Merriweather for many years. And she said, you know, she talks about live entertainment and live, you know, performing arts as kind of recession proof. You know, they're not pandemic proof, but they are. I think there is something deep inside all of us that yearns to celebrate art in real time together. And, you know, I think at the beginning of all this, I was a little worried that, you know, maybe it won't come back. Maybe the age of live performance is over, but I am well past that because I know that
I know. I think everybody wants to come out. I think the longer you hold people back, the more they want to come. So I'm way past that fear as well, Ian, for sure. Well, I will tell you that, of course, I live right across the street from Merriweather and do a lot of walks and affirming better times over there and so forth. And I just love looking over at the chrysalis, and I just try to envision all that still could be. I sometimes take my grandchildren over there. I don't know if I'm going to be in trouble for telling this. And just let them run and say, touch your stars every time we have this huge audience. And, you know, I mean, it's just a beautiful place. So I'm going to envision Luis and Gabriel coming back and performing there, you know, for sure. So thank you. Everything you said is hopeful and well said, and it makes us feel better. And we knew, of course, that you all are planning and, you know, with some works in progress as you keep up with, you know, all the parameters of this pandemic. But thank you. Thank you for giving us that hope.
Well, this is what I do to get through the day, you know, hope, optimism, and then maybe the guitar on the porch at night.
There you go.
Well, before we go, and I know our time is kind of running out here, I'm not sure about the time, but I do want to make sure that we get a chance to hear both Gabriel's segment from winning the Rising Star and also go out with the salsa dancing wild sounds from the Panamanian artist Luis Casal and his brother Isaac. So let's hear a segment from Gabriel's winning performance of the Rising Star, followed by the salsa sounds of the Panamanian artist Luis Casal and his brother Isaac.
If I can call you daily for a daily dose of your optimism, yeah. But that is absolutely wonderful news. So can you give us just a little hint, a little preview about what might be one of the first things we're looking at? We're not going to hold you to it, but.
Well, I mean, one of the things I was just thinking about this morning, I really, really, really want to again try to present, as we were planning to this year, the Howard County Public School Systems. They came up with a concert program for Les Mis. They didn't come up with the program, but they did an all-county cast of singers, performers, as well as musicians. So it's going to be the GT Orchestra and 300 singers performing the full show of Les Mis, the full concert production, so not the full staged version. And I just feel like that would be one of the best things that we could do. You know, all of Howard County high school students, high school and middle schools were represented. Meriwether is the one stage that's big enough to hold, you know, several hundred kids. And Les Mis is just, you know, for the time we're in, for the feelings that we all have, the zeitgeist of this era, I feel like is the perfect musical, the power of it all. It could be a tremendous spectacle, and it would be a spectacle with, you know, with Howard County students in the starring roles. So I really want to get that one back on track.
Oh, I like the way you think. And when you said it, I just had to hold my heart because I was so excited about that. I had a lot of students, a lot of teacher friends. I was, you know, so ready to see that. And I think that sounds like a great opportunity. It makes me a little nervous that Les Mis can mask any of the times we're in.
No.
It will certainly be. So I'm extremely hopeful to see that being brought back. I mean, that would be just, you know, perfect. And also, I may just add in here too that Toby's Dinner Theater, I believe, is going to open in a small scale way too for some baby steps back into. So we'll keep you posted as we know a little bit more. Carolyn, you know any more on that?
Well, it's for the subscribers at this point.
Okay.
Yes, and they're going to do a new show. It's called Home for the Holidays.
Okay. All right. Well, again, small steps. So I think the common theme here today, and I love it because it's hopeful and positive, is just that, as you explained it, Ian, just like we have rests in music, we're in that rest period. And, you know, just to keep going, that Gabriel and Luis are continuing to hone their craft, which is already excellent. That's amazing. You all are going to be, whoa, over the top. Yeah, so we all just have to, you know, be in that place knowing that things are coming back, and I think they're going to be bigger and better than ever. And the arts is the place to be. I tell that to my college kids, that if you have the arts in your life, you always have somewhere to go when the chips are down. So luckily, you can go to your guitar, you can go to your cello, you can go to your violin. In the case of Carolyn and I, we can dance on Zoom, we can talk to you all, we can give hope that we are going to be bringing it back. And I thank each of you for all of your hopeful messages. And I can't wait to see you, Gabriel, Luis, and Ian. I can't wait to see you over at Merriweather soon. Thank you so, so much. And this is Razzle Dazzle Radio. Carolyn, always a blast. Thanks so much. Until next time.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.